This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
We're back.
Yes.
Finally.
I'm back. The king is back to reclaim my throne with my queen, JJ.
He's back, baby. That was a bit of Plan B.
Plan B.
From Adulthood.
From a tremendous film.
We had a little bit of throwback.
Yeah.
Friday throwback.
From Adulthood. Plan B, yeah. That was a great soundtrack, the Adulthood soundtrack.
I was enjoying it. I was looking through, this week's songs, I was like, let's go back to the, not the beginning.
Was that your way of welcoming me back?
Yeah, I was like, come on.
I love you, man.
But I'm afraid there's maybe there's some songs you won't like after that.
It's all right. I vowed to save them next year, so I will save you guys next year. But I love that you thought of me and you welcomed me back that way.
I was like, I'll give no one and then the rest can be mine.
Well, you give me one. It's not what I'd really like, but...
Well, we haven't even started. We got 30 seconds into the show.
For everyone, we are friends, but not friends with benefits.
Now, do you know what? My mum and my grandma recently found out what that was.
Friends with benefits.
They had no idea.
Do they think that's what we are?
Right. No. Well, now they know what it is. My mum's very aware. but my grandma, my cousin.
I could be friends with benefits of your mum now if you want.
Oh, no, why? Last week I had Kevin Fresher on the show. He started chatting up my mum. Yeah. What is it? Everyone's going after my mum.
I don't know. She's quite sexy.
Leave her alone.
She likes it though.
Well,
you're sexy.
Kevin isn't even chocolate, so
no.
I was like, sorry, you're not even in the race, Kev.
You're not even in the race.
Lost for
anyway,
me.
Anyway, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, right. We've got a big show. It's the last show of the year. It's something like our 15th show or 16th show now, or something like.
I think
really,
I've
really
done
crazy.
Three. How many have I done?
Thank you.
How many shows have I done? Three, two, three.
At least six.
Shut up, three. I've done more than three. What a cheeky little mother.
We've got lots of guests packed in. We've got Lucy Patterson. She's back from her travels, and we're going to be doing film reviews.
Oh, love it.
After 5:30, TJ. He's been away as well, and. He's going to come back and tell us a little bit about the weird little Disney play that
he's
been doing.
Hold on, let me understand something. So TJ's calling in. Why is he calling in? Like, I call in when I'm not here. It's my show. Like, why is he calling in?
Because he wants to be part of it. He wants to be part of the family. Football family. And I don't know. He just wants to feel involved. Let's let him feel involved.
No, I like TJ.
We've also got the girls from Muted the Musical. Jade Adams from the Soho Theatre. She's one of... Apparently Dawn French has like said that she is like the next...
Her.
Or yeah. Apparently so.
I think Jade would probably rather be the first Jade than...
Well, yeah, I think she is the first Jade Adams.
I'm not speaking for her, obviously. I'm sure that's a compliment, actually.
She won, like, the funniest woman of the year.
Is she coming in?
Mm-hmm.
She better be funny when she comes in.
I know, like, pressure, right? When you like, get given
pressure.
A title...
You're, like, the funniest woman of the year. I better be laughing by the time you leave or I'm revoking your title.
It's like strongest man of the year and stuff like that. Like, you can never, you know, you can never be seen not being strong.
Yeah, I know.
Because they'll just, like, rip it out of you. You have to always be able to lift a car at any one time.
At any time.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, lift the car. but no.
Thought you're strongest man of the year. Well, clearly not. Right, so big show, lots of fun. And then Christmas. Christmas is like next Sunday.
Is it a Sunday?
It's a Sunday Christmas.
So people got less excuse to not go to church now because actually on a Sunday.
It's on a Sunday. Yeah. And that means that Christmas Eve is on a Saturday.
You're clearly in the Christmas spirit. Johanna's very sparkly.
Yeah, well, you'll see us later in Facebook Live. I basically wore as much Christmas glitter.
I'm going to hijack the Facebook Live today. When they go on Facebook Live, I'm going to go on mine as well, just because.
Are you just going to do it?
Just going to do it randomly.
All right.
If I remember.
Go on.
Am I going to know when we're on?
Yeah, we'll get notified by the little minions when we're going live. But I'm incredibly glittery, all on my face. Basically, I had a big Christmas party last night.
Did you fall in like a pool of glitter and glue?
I slept in a pool of glitter in the Christmas party and I just thought I'd keep it going. I'll just keep rolling in.
I feel like you did that. You look very sparkly, but you look great, by the way.
Thank you so much. Right, so a little bit of entertainment news. What's going on in the world? What's happening? Well, obviously, it's coming up to Oscar time. Oscar season.
Man, have I been... Guys, you film buffs out there that should be listening to the show because it's supposed to be a film show. Guys, have I got some great DVDs, man. I can't give them to you, obviously, but I'm going to be watching a lot of films over Christmas, so...
Oh, so you get sent it all?
I get sent all the Oscar-y, BAFTA-y stuff, yeah.
All right,
watch.
For some.
I know.
Well, it was the Screen Actors Guild Award nominations were released this week. Mm. And there's a couple things. Everyone is going absolutely goo-ga for La La Land.
Got it.
Have you got it?
Yes,
oh my
I
God,
do.
So coming around and watching that.
You can borrow it.
Yes, we like. I haven't seen it. I've only ever seen like, you know, the bits and bobs. But apparently, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone are getting like big nods for.
But interestingly, they're not nominated for ensemble cast.
No, they weren't. So they were only nominated for the two actors. Ensemble cast nominations went to Manchester by the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And what else have we got here?
Moonlight. Seen that.
Captain Fantastic. Denzel Washington for Fences. Again, I haven't seen it, but I've seen it's the trailer where Denzel Washington, it's set in the past.
yeah. It's a period piece, yeah.
Best actress, Emily Blunt for Girl on the Train. Have you checked out Girl on the Train yet?
No, haven't.
She was good in that. Apparently she was pregnant while she was filming it, so she was having to play this like completely chronically ill alcoholic
while she was pregnant blooming and pregnant.
Supposed to be with the glow.
Meryl Streep in Best Actress for Florence Foster Jenkins.
Downton Abbey, but not, so Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones and The Crown. There's a lot of like Britishy
all up for Best Ensemble. That's interesting that The Crown has snuck in there, since The Crown is still relatively new.
Really new.
But that's amazing that snuck in there. And I like the fact that Stranger Things is there, because obviously that was a really kind of big show this year that did well for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm super happy about that.
And interestingly, if we flip the Westworld is in there,
mm-hmm.
which has got a lot of mixed stuff, so it's pretty cool that they've managed to...
Because I watch Westworld with my friend Joe, and he lives in Leeds, so we can only catch up whenever he comes down to London. And like vice versa. So we were watching, we were on the second to last episode this afternoon, then I had to come do the show. So hopefully tonight we're going to be able to
sound so sad about it. You're like, well, yeah, then I have to come do the show.
Well, it's the penultimate, no, not penultimate, it's the end, it's the last one of this season.
It is the last one. Although I'm pretty sure, she says she didn't, I'm pretty sure one of our producery women told me that last week's was the last one, which is why I was on the phone dressed up like Muhammad Ali, looking like a lunatic in the middle of the woods. Because I was told last week was the last one.
No,
by Natalie.
This is the last show.
Natalie, her name's Natalie. She's quite sexy, actually. Send some emails. Send some emails in. Let's get her a little Christmas loving or something.
If anyone does want to email in the show, we will shout you out. So it's chill@foobarradio.com.
Yeah.
Email in. Let us know.
Tell me how much you love Natalie and what you want to
do
for Christmas.
And also what movies you're looking forward to and what you like and who you think should win awards and whatnot. Because I saw Manchester by the Sea, went to a screening of that, and I went in just as an open book, and I was really...
Yeah, you said it was brilliant.
I was really... I went through all the feels.
I have a question for you guys quickly before we get on to... Did you guys cover the British Independent Film Awards a couple of weeks back, the BIFFAs? I wasn't here, but...
No, I don't think we talked about
it. I'd love an email from you guys who are listening to answer me a question. When you look at films that like we've done, like Brotherhood and stuff like that, that is British and independent, I'd love you guys to see to tell me why you think that, although it is the very different definition of British independent, why we get no British Independent Film Award nominations. I know why I think, but it'd be good to hear from you guys what you think.
Because to get a BIFFA, it has to be an
British
independent
and
movie.
Independent.
Okay, so who won that?
I didn't watch it or pay any attention once we weren't nominated.
I see. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, that's weird though you weren't, because you're one of the most prominent British...
I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about the film as a whole and the cast as a whole and Arnold and everyone. It's like we're the very definition of British and independent are our films.
Yeah. Right?
This year, our film, the only films ahead of our film this year in terms of British films are Eddie the Eagle.
Yeah.
The Danish Girl, big Oscar movie, right? Eddie Redmayne.
Mm-hmm.
And Eye in the Sky, which is a big movie from Helen Mirren. Then Brotherhood is fourth. And we beat The Office movie. We beat Street Cat Named Bob. We beat Florence Foster Jenkins, which is on this SAG list here. We beat Swallows and Amazons. We beat I, Daniel Blake, which is the Ken Loach film.
Oh, yeah.
And we beat High Rise by Ben Wheatley, which was a massive film as well.
Yeah.
So we're four. So how come we're British independent and we don't get any nominations? Food for thought, filmmakers. Food for thought.
Yeah, I wonder why. If you have a think, you know, be brave. Email's in.
Yeah, be brave. You know, I don't give a fuck. Say what you want. I'll read it out.
Yeah, we'll see. Or, yeah, be honest, because maybe someone will hit the nail on the head. Why?
Yeah, because I think I know why, but be interested to know what you guys think. Anyway.
Okie dokie. What's come out this week, sort of whizzing around the internet, is that the new trailer for Dunkirk, it's Christopher Nolan's World War II.
With Harry Styles from One Direction.
With Harry Styles from One Direction.
When he shoots people, does he say, "That's what makes you daddy, fool"? No.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I'm like, Harry Styles is beautiful. Can he act? Nobody knows.
He's all right looking. He's not Clark out here, is he? But he's not bad looking.
He's you know,
a bit younger. He's got some years on me.
Many a girl would you know, lie down for Harry. Let's just say.
What, you think they don't lie down for me?
Well, he's very young. You know, he's got age on his side, doesn't
he? Yeah, man's a sugar daddy.
But I don't know. I mean, it's got a really amazing cast.
It does, amazing cast.
Kenneth Branagh, Tom Hardy. It's like proper British royalty in there.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether Styles, like, would Styles have got the role if he wasn't Harry Styles, or is he in there because it's gonna, he's drawing in the millions of ladies? Or?
I mean, my understanding is that he and my understanding, I could be wrong, is that he auditioned for the part and got the part. But again, would he have got the audition if he wasn't who he was? There's a million, you know, looking at that part. And I've not seen the film, but I'm assuming that there's nothing spectacular that says that he had to do it.
Yeah.
So there's a million and one young white actors that could have auditioned for that part, and I don't know how many of them did.
I wonder if, though, because you know when someone is so well known, or if they're trying to make a transition from one sort of side of the industry to the other, whether or not I'm going to be able to completely get into the story, if I'm going to be like, that's Harry, yeah, is he going to burst into song at any minute, or is he going to look to camera and be like, that's what makes you beautiful?
He could surprise us and be unrecognisable. Regardless of that, he's still got an advantage to suddenly be in a big film like that, that other actors work for a long, long time, and a lot of you listeners that want to be actors in his just wouldn't have got the opportunity, and he probably got that opportunity because he is Harry Styles.
Because he's Harry Styles. Well, Rogue One, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
So that came out yesterday.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a chance this week. It's just been mental. I didn't get a chance to go see it, but it's on my list this weekend. And people, I've asked people who have gone to see it, and they've been really surprised. Even people who weren't Star Wars fans and were a little bit confused, they still enjoyed it as a movie.
I will be watching that. I have friends in there, obviously, Riz Ahmed and someone else, I forget, but. You know, I will definitely be watching that.
You forget your friends?
Not Riz, he's a mate. But I can't remember who the other one is, so they can't be that much of a Riz.
Professional friend. No. Yes, I'm really excited about sort of Rogue One and what's coming up. I mean, Christmas is... this is really top cinema time. There's loads of stuff coming out. Boxing Day.
Do you know what's out on Boxing Day?
What?
Brotherhood.
DVD, oh, on DVD.
And Blu-ray.
Are you a Blu-ray or are you a DVD person?
I don't care, to be honest.
Just whatever.
Whatever turns up. To be honest, I don't really buy any. I get loads during this season for the award season, which I'm not really allowed to share. But they can't see me winking at you.
You can see the wink.
I don't really buy any anymore. I always buy on I'll Netflix it or iTunes it or whatever.
Yeah. You know? Oh, do you know what's coming to Netflix? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Netflix has just bought all the seasons.
Interesting.
So I'm really, it's another generation that's going to, because I watched that, you know, back in the day. And now it's going to be a whole new generation.
Can you do the song?
What, the beginning?
Yeah, can you do the song, yeah.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spent most of my days, chilling out, maxed and relaxing, all cool and shooting some people outside of the school. And a couple of guys, they were up to no good.
Started making trouble in my neighborhood.
I got in one little fight, and my mom got scared to touch me.
Good girl.
I'm
impressed, man. I loved it.
I loved that show.
Oh shit, this chair's fucking on me again.
Will Smith was the first black guy that I fancied.
Who was the second?
The guy from Saved by the...
Sorry, just clearing my throat. Sorry, who was the second?
The guy from Saved by the...
Sorry?
All right, you, fine, you.
Thank you.
You can't see he's pinching my leg right now.
Oh, yeah, because my arms are that long.
Right, let's pop on to the...
I swear you guys do this chair to wind me up, man, honestly.
Is it broken again? Maybe you've got like one side of your arse cheek is like a lot more weighted than the other.
Do you just squat on one side or something? I know now. Now I know you guys do this to wind me up.
They rig it up.
I legitimately know it now. You just wind me up when
they rig it up. Right. Okay, let's get more of the Friday feeling. Yeah. We're going to go for 25 Miles by Edwin Starr. We'll be back. It's Back Row and Chill.
Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Background Chill.
Welcome back.
Clarky and James.
Yeah, dude.
Right, we sound like we could rob a bank. Come on, Clarky and James.
No, we sound like Sharky and George. Do you remember that cartoon, Sharky and George?
No.
Was it before your time, was it?
Before I was born. No. Okay.
Unbelievable.
Right. We were just talking about sort of top films that are getting little Oscar-y nominationary things, which is Manchester by the Sea, La La Land. So I thought I was going to play you guys a little trailer snippet to see if you guys want to go and see. So this is a little snippet of Manchester by the Sea with Casey Affleck's Ben Affleck's little bro, who's actually very, very, very good, and he's now nominated for a lot of awards. So let's have a little listen to this.
If you could take one guy to an island with you and you knew you'd be safe because he was the best man, he was going to keep you happy, if it was between me and your father, who would you take?
My daddy.
I didn't think you're wrong about that.
I don't understand.
Which part are you having trouble with?
Well, I can't be his guardian.
Well, your brother provided for your nephew's upkeep. Nobody can appreciate what you've been through. And if you really feel you can't take this on, you know, that's your right.
Where are we going, to the orphanage?
Shut up.
Get in the car.
Do you want to be his guardian?
Well,
he doesn't want to be my guardian, for Christ's sake.
Got a house full. We're trying to lose some kids at this point.
How's Patrick doing?
Well, he doesn't really open up with me.
You don't want to be my guardian? That's fine with me.
Not that. It's just the logistics.
All my friends are here. I got two girlfriends, and I'm in a band. You're a janitor in Quincy. What the hell do you care where you live?
There's something wrong with me.
Do you want me to call your friends?
I don't know.
What do you want me to do? I'm not gonna bother you. I'm gonna just sit here until you calm down.
All right, I'm calming now. Would you please just go away?
No.
Fantastic movie. Great.
Sounds, does sound interesting.
But it was...
You said it was great.
It was heavy. So I left. It was a weird experience because I saw that and I left and then I ran straight over the road to go and watch the Room. Wanted to get a fly.
There's a fly in here. Fucking wind me up. I'll smash this old... I hate flies, man.
So that was Manchester by the Sea, and this is a little snippet from La La Land, which is Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
I'll tell you something about Manchester in a minute. Okay. After we do this.
Alright, let's have a little look at La La, because this is a modern day musical set in LA, and yeah, apparently, you know, it's the magic. They've done many a film together. They've got, like, it's the classic chemistry of Gosling and Stone. So let's see how this
two is. Options. You either follow my rules or follow my rules. Capiche?
Thank you.
I can do it a different way.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much.
You're fired.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, I see the decorations. Good luck in the new year.
It's pretty strange that we keep running into each other.
Maybe it means something.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think so. You could just write your own roles, you know, write something that's as interesting as you are.
What are you going to do?
I have my own club.
Is that going to happen every time?
I think so.
How are you going to be a revolutionary if you're such a traditionalist? You're holding on to the past, but jazz is about the future.
Maybe I'm not good enough.
Yes, you are.
Maybe I'm not. It's like a pipe dream.
This is the dream. It's conflict. And it's compromised. It's very, very exciting.
Ooh. And that was the guy who made Whiplash. And I was listening in this when I went to a screening of Manchester by the Sea. People behind me were talking about La La Land.
Yeah.
Apparently they'd seen it. And they were sort of these film buffy media people. And they were saying that...
Like you mean?
A bit like me, yeah. But like more profesh, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did, but they were saying that they were doing that talk and they were saying, like, oh, but you know, everyone was saying, oh, Whiplash was amazing, but could he do it again? And he has. So and now he's like officially a fan. It's like when you get a viral video, it's like, great, can you do it again? And then it's on the second one that you're confirmed as a genius, not the first.
the second one. I don't know if that works for virals, you know. Does that work for virals?
I don't know. I think sometimes people can go, oh, one, like one hit wonder, or oh, so.
Yeah, but there's the second one to cement you, though.
I think the second time you hit or you surpass your first gong,
okay,
then you've done it. So,
all right.
You know, I'm making it hard for myself, aren't I? It's not my first Oscar; it's the second Oscar that really counts.
Maybe. So, Manchester by the Sea, interestingly enough, where Samuel L. Jackson had a lot to say about it the other day, saying it wasn't an inclusive film, and I guess he means it wasn't very diverse and stuff like that. So, is it not? And if it's not, is it not because it couldn't be, or just because it's not?
Well, it's set in this really remote... where it's set, I'm assuming that
on
it's...
On planet Earth, right?
It's, yeah, but it's, like, very upstate.
I think there's black people on planet Earth.
Yeah, but you know what it's like in certain areas of England? Mm-hmm. They're just our villages, which are just all white. And I'm... Because I don't know too much about the geography of America, but I think that it's very... It's supposed to be this little town on the coast. It's like a fishing town.
Makes sense.
On the coast of... up from Chicago, a couple of hours.
So maybe it's because of that.
Maybe because it was just... It would be a little bit weird to have a totally multicultural cast if it was set in, like...
Yeah. That makes sense. I was in Kettering recently and... there was like 400 people where I were and there was no black people. You except were
just me. Like, does that...
It was like, where's Wally? Except I was easy to find because it was me.
Was that when you were in the woods?
No, that was... fuck, I don't know where I was then. I don't know where I was.
Okay.
Near Pinewood. I was near Pinewood Studios last week in the woods.
You're like all over the country. Where's Noel Clark?
And I was in Berlin before that shooting.
Just popping up?
Yeah, I was filming a Duncan Jones film, Mute. Mm. Yeah, which has got Paul Rudd and Alexander Skarsgård and Justin Theroux.
Oh, Alex.
That's what I was doing. I was in Berlin shooting that.
Were you with... do you have any scenes with either of them?
I have scenes with all of them. Lovely. Where I speak to them directly.
Oh. Oh. Look at that. Yeah. You got well chuffed. I'd be chuffed if I shared a scene with Alexander Skarsgård.
He's a nice fella.
He's well tall, isn't he?
He's very tall, yes. Like, Paul Rudd is not as tall, but equally a nice fella.
Is he as tall as you?
Paul Rudd, probably about the same height, I think.
No, not so very tall then. Okay.
Cheeky.
I'm just warming up for our insult game later.
I'm 5'9", mate. 5'9".
So am I. We've measured each other many... No, that's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We've measured each other. We're exactly the same height. It's all equal from where we're seeing.
Yeah, her penis is the same size as mine as well.
I know, we measured that too.
Yeah, 15 inches.
I was about to go really small. Okay, right. So last trailer I've got for you is the Rogue One. It's the new Star
Rogue
Wars.
Rogue One, let's do it.
Star Wars spin-off. So if anyone was looking to find all the characters from the last Star Wars, nah, this is set way before.
Way before.
Wrong movie, mate.
Jim, whatever I do it to protect you. So you understand?
I understand.
Our rebellion is all that remains to push back the Empire.
We think you might be able to help us.
When was the last time you were in contact with your father?
He is critical to the development of a super weapon.
If my father built this thing, we need to find him.
All right.
They are requesting a call sign. It's a Rogue One.
If the Empire has this kind of power, what chance do we have?
We have hope.
Force is strong.
Make 10 men feel like 100.
Save the rebellion! Save the dream!
Jim, whatever I do it to protect you. So you understand?
I understand.
Oh, I think we're playing it again.
Our rebellion is all that...
No, you were. That was very exciting, though. I mean, it's one of those ones where actually it sounds exciting, but if it's not Star Wars, I'm not really watching it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it sounds exciting, but it's just like a yawn, whatever. There's loads of films like that. But because it's Star Wars, I'm all over it.
You're all over it. Oh, branding works.
So I grew up with Star Wars, and there's lightsabers and shit like that. And
I can confirm there are lightsabers in this one.
Yeah, and it's the director of... Well, I actually don't care, because I liked his first film. I didn't like the second one, so...
Ooh.
But it's the director of Monsters.
Yeah.
Which was that tiny little film.
Yeah.
That supposedly cost $200,000. And then he did Godzilla, which was like $200 million. Didn't jump in budget at all. And then now he's done this.
Yeah, man, he's scaled up.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward...
Gareth Edwards.
Ah, that's his name. No, I'm going to go see all those films. Oh, I've already seen Manchester by the Sea. But I'll watch that again. Right, looking a little bit at the soundtrack to La La Land, because that's also going to be a number one, because it's super catchy and super sunny and
super... You think
super
it's
going
to be a number one, yeah?
I think so.
Place your bets, guys. Place your bets.
La La Land. It's going to win all the Oscars, and it's going to be number one.
Number one single.
I will bet you.
I might take that.
My 15-inch cock, I'll bet you that.
We've already lost that, haven't you?
Right, here we go. So this is, what is it? Another Day in the Sun from La La Land.
them every day. The rhythms in the canyons that'll never fade away. The ballads in the barrooms left by those who came before. They say we gotta want it more. So I bang on every door.
And even when the answer's no, my money is running low. Dusty mic and neon glow are all I need.
And someday as I sing a song, a small town kid'll come along. That'll be the thing to push him on.
We're back.
Oh, it was a lovely day in the sun, man.
Do you know what?
I have to say, Johanna James, I think you were right. That is a lovely song.
I know that you'll be listening to that on the way to work. Tap dancing your way to the studio.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, we've got our first guest in the studio. Welcome to Camille Gatin, who is who is the producer on the movie The Girl with All the Gifts.
Fantastic.
Which we did review a couple months back. Because I went to see the screening that was in Leicester Square. I had a shock of my life because normally you go to like sort of press screenings or whatnot, and I was sitting on the front row, and then suddenly, like, Gemma Arterton came out, and then Glenn Close, and I was just like, my mouth just dropped, like, oh my god.
They're only people, you know.
I know, but you know, when I really look up to like Glenn Close and people, but I'm looking at them.
Yeah, Glenn Close is wonderful.
Yeah, and so I was just like, I wasn't prepared. That's all right. I don't fangirl over many people, but. I was just like, I had a shock.
Yeah, she's Devil Wears Prada of me. Fucking quality.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's Meryl Streep. I'm all confused now.
I wasn't going to correct you, but...
Glenn Close is...
Cruella De Vil.
Cruella De Vil.
Yeah. She's also the man pirate that goes in the boo-boo box in Hook with beard.
Right, okay. You're getting a bit obscure. Let's get to...
The Girl with All the Gifts. So for anyone who doesn't know what that film is or hasn't yet had the chance to see it, do you want to give us a brief...
Yeah, I'm not going to say too much because I think if you've not seen it, it's better to go in cold and not have any expectations. It's just a messed up school with little kids who live in prison cells, and every morning soldiers come and at gunpoint make them sit in wheelchairs, and they're strapped really securely and rolled into class. They're in a bunker and the kids don't seem to have a problem with that. Gemma Arterton is their teacher and they love her and they love going to class, but they're just treated like little monsters.
And it's set in a dystopian future, which is my favourite genre of film. I love it. So messed up.
Or as we know it, the West Midlands.
Yeah, in 2 years' time. So I have a question for you. Because I recently sat with some amazing publishers and they gave me the book of the film. I said, we should read this. It's wonderful and the film's out. And I was like, oh, yeah. So tell me how that all happened. Was that I'm understanding that actually there was a film before there was a book.
There was. So Mike Carey's been writing Sandman, Lucifer, X-Men, like for 30 years. Mm-hmm. He's an amazing comic book writer. That's so right. I met with him for a general meeting, and at the end of the meeting it was like, look, I've just written this short story, do you mind taking a look? And it's the first 5 minutes of our film.
Amazing.
And I knew Colin McCarthy, the director, really wanted to do a whole film in derelict location. He's got this obsession with dereliction porn, as we like to call it.
Right.
So have I.
So I sent him the short story. I was like, look, I think we can do something with this. So the three of us storylined the film together, and Mike wrote the script, and we had a bit of a break at some point, and Mike was like, oh, I've just written the novel based on the script. So Colin and I have never read the book.
Do you guys own the book then?
Well, I had to have the rights for the film, but I was like, I've never signed an option for a book before that I've never read.
Right.
And obviously the book came out early, before the film, but we got really lucky. Joss Whedon was in the UK doing Age of Ultron, and he's a massive Mike Carey comic book fan. So he actually bought the book, because as you know, Joss Whedon would have nothing better to do than go to Waterstones during prep on Age of Ultron
and read a whole book
and then tweet about it, and he tweeted about it with the cover of the book going, this is the best thing I've read in ages, and that helped with financing.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So it's great.
So tell me about the process of working with children. They always say, don't work. You have to pretend right now that I'm not the movie director and actor and blah, 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 and I'm just a radio host. So
avoid animals.
Yes.
We had that. Avoid children.
You had that.
We had that. Avoid asbestos. We had that.
Yeah, I think you should actually avoid asbestos, though.
Definitely.
That's one that can seriously damage your health, whereas the other two just can be annoyances.
Look, our main character's a 10-year-old girl, and she's in every scene.
She is, isn't every single scene. You follow everything through her.
What was the casting process?
We saw 3,000 tapes. We met 500 girls, and it sounds nuts, but she's the very last girl we met. Very last one. And I wasn't with Colm. She's from Nottingham, from the TV workshop. And I was down in London closing financing. We were doing chemistry reads with Gemma and five other girls on the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Friday afternoon at 5, and Colm's going via Nottingham because he's like, just want to make sure we don't leave any stone unturned.
Yeah.
And I remember him calling me and going, there's one more. And she came in on the Monday to read with Gemma, and he was like, yeah, it's her.
Wow. That's amazing. Sometimes the way, isn't it, that it's the last one that you meet. Or sometimes the first one.
Well, interestingly, the very first one we met was the other amazing one.
Yeah, wow.
Wow, like a bookend.
A bookend of girls.
And was there any... was it quite an open casting? Like, did you see... Or was she always going to be...
it was a bit unusual in that, basically, and Noel will understand that, is when you put a casting call out, especially for kids, you get the upper middle class girls first from the really motivated, momager driven schools.
Yes.
And that's fine, but that's not at all the vibe we were going for. So we actually had a scout that went around the UK and met a lot of normal girls from normal schools. Mm-hmm. And that was really important to us because obviously this is a dystopian world where there is no class. You know, there's just a few human beings left around. And so there isn't like posh or not posh. These kids, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but these kids have not been raised by normal grown-ups in a normal society.
Yeah.
So they had to be sort of blank canvases, and they just had to be emotionally really raw.
So what you're saying, which is a good thing as well, is that actually it was a non-specific in terms of race or class or anything like that, which is great to know, you know, and hopefully, like you listeners out there that kind of are wanting to be actors, you know, it does happen a lot more now that roles are non-specific.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important.
And we made an effort with that. We asked Mike Carey to remove any description of age or colour for all of the characters.
Yeah.
So that for our casting director, it was completely open. So there's only 8 characters, but half my cast is female and half my cast is black.
Yeah.
And that was a conscious, you know, decision by Colm and myself when we started the process.
Yeah. Awesome.
The cast as a whole were really, really good. But the little girl absolutely kind of totally carried the film.
She's amazing.
She's really good. I don't want to give too much away because the twist comes quite quickly in the movie. I can see why the opening would have been a short in itself and how it's like extended to, you know, that's, yeah. So you're not waiting until the very, very end to get any kind of huge, huge, huge twist. It's,
and when are you released on Home Entertainment?
18th of January.
Boom.
Oh, just after Crimbo.
Just after Christmas. So when you're out in your sales, guys, The Girl with All the Gifts will be out. Make sure you all grab it.
And one thing that I really love, because dystopian future, sometimes they can go really CGI, and CGI just doesn't really cut the mustard for me. I find that it, like, when whole things are CGI'd, it just ruins it. And I remember I was doing some like research on this film when I was going to talk about it, and like you said about the real locations that were abandoned, so all of it was, it felt so real. So it was in the future, but it was like real hospitals that were abandoned, real shops, real locations. So
Dudley, Stoke-on-Trent.
Oh man, glamorous.
Cannock Chase and Chernobyl. We went to Chernobyl.
Did you actually go?
Yeah.
To a, I guess, near area.
No, in Pripyat. So the actual city next to the, which was completely abandoned. We needed it to look completely overgrown and derelict.
Yeah.
And so we went there with a drone. And so all the big London cityscapes, obviously we added all the St Paul's and, you know, London skyline, but actually everything is totally real and it's all Chernobyl.
And were you, I guess you were, I guess, near the radiation then.
So you get a little Geiger thing around your neck, and then when it goes, you walk away.
Yeah. And let me understand, so you were nominated and won.
Yay.
And won a British Independent Film Award.
The first of its kind. They recognise that being a first-time film producer is hard.
Yes.
So it was a new category this year. It's called Breakthrough Producer. Well
done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. That's great stuff. And was that an exciting night for you? Or?
Well, you get free champagne if you win. So I got pissed with Jennifer Saunders, which was sort of really fun.
Were you tapping her up for the next movie, potentially?
No, I was just getting drunk with
her. You were just having fun.
And where have you put your little where have you put your little award?
Up on the shelf.
Yeah, that's what I do. It's just on the shelf.
And how did you get Glenn Close involved? Because
I get asked that a lot.
Yeah.
How did we get Glenn Close?
How did you get the cast?
We asked. Yeah. We just sent it to her, and it's just serendipity always. And she'd literally had a chat with her agent 2 days before that, going, I really want to do something different. I always get offered, like, the angry ex-wife or the cruel grandmother. I just want to do something different. And he called her and he was like, look, I just got this British indie zombie film.
Yeah.
And she read it and she loved it.
Great.
And she just got on Skype with our director within 48 hours and she just said yes on the spot.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Sometimes it happens, man. I think that, and that's the key, you know, people don't always ask because they think, like, the Americans are unobtainable.
Mm.
And actually, they're not. You know, and a lot of them were wanting to do different things. So, good.
Glenn wanted good to come you. To Stoke-on-Trent badly.
Who doesn't want to go to Stoke-on-Trent now? I want to go now. Should we just go now? Let's all just go now.
All right, off air.
Okay.
So, what's next for you? You got anything you can speak about?
Well, Mike Carey, the writer, this time we've read the book. His next book, Fellside, which came out in April, I think, it's a ghost story set in a women's prison.
Fantastic.
So, we're doing that as a trio again, Colin, Mike, and myself.
Fantastic. So, I'm expecting a role in that one. I know it's a ghost story in a women's prison, but I'm pretty diverse.
I can
play a woman.
You wear a corset, it's fine.
The ghost is a 10-year-old boy. I'm sure we can CGI you somehow.
I can do that too. Don't worry about that. And is that a period piece or is that a modern piece?
No, contemporary. It's a modern piece.
Fantastic.
I'm assuming the ghost might be a bit periody.
If he's young, if he's 10, he might have died 100 years ago. Let's not give it
back
away
in
regardless.
The day.
That sounds brilliant.
Nice and jumpy.
Great.
Right, we're going to pop to a song. Because what time are we on? Oh, no, we've got a little time. So pop to a song and then we can pop back again and play a little game, if you don't mind. Every week I do sort of guess the movie song or guess that Christmas movie. So we're going to be testing your knowledge, industry peeps.
I want to point out that I usually win this game, but, you know, hopefully you can dethrone me.
I want to point out that I'm French and I moved here when I was 20. So I might know the title of the film in French.
You're trying to already make excuses for losing.
Just say the title in French and I may be right or I may be wrong.
You can get 10 points if you get it in French. That's fine. All right. Okay, we're going to play a song it's called Gold by Mia, M-I-A. It's in the film. Mm. It's in the film Sing.
Yeah, okay. Like, the gorilla thing.
The gorilla and pig singing film.
Yeah, sounds awesome, that film.
Oh, whatever. Show me your gold, do it with your toe. The type of games put on your blindfold. Show me your gold, do it with your toe. The type of games put on your blindfold. Show me your gold, do it with your toe. The type of games put on your blindfold. Show me your gold. No one will know, no one can say no. Go to places others wanna blow. So we become people you don't.
digital. No type of games, put on your black hole. Show me your goal, digital. No type of games, put on your black hole. Show me your goal, digital. No type of games, put on your black hole.
Fubar Radio presents.
I really like my boyfriend and the sex is good, but he doesn't make me orgasm. When we finish, I say, I'm going to the toilet and I finish it myself. What can I do? Be like, before you put your dick in me, I need you to go down on me for a solid 30 minutes. I think that's reasonable. What if you told him what you'd been up to? You twist it. You're like, I've been going to the toilet afterwards and finishing myself off. I don't want that to happen anymore, so here's my compromise. You watch me. I'm turned on thinking about it.
Is he bloody? Of course she is. She's Hannah Witton.
Every Wednesday.
The Hannah Witton Show.
From 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Mate, I know I've been away for a little bit, but I don't know why we're advertising Hannah's show. She's like, the guy needs to go down there for 30. Why does she need to give that advice? I would do that for free. And I don't get locked jaw or nothing. I go there for an hour. So you tell Hannah Wednesday, I'm there. I'm there. Under the desk while she's doing her show. She'll be like, hi, everyone. I'm just, I'm there, man. What about that? Hannah, I'm on my way, girl, Wednesday. 30 minutes, no problem. No locked jaw, nothing.
Yeah, like your face literally dropped when you heard that. Like, what's this? Is that?
I'm so, what the fuck is this?
What is this? That's Hannah Witton, baby. Right.
Man,
okay.
I'll be meeting her Wednesday.
We are going to play Name That Christmas Movie Quiz. So let me just line this up and see. So just think of a buzzer. Anything. So if you think you know the answer, you can be like,
I'll do Hannah Witton and when I'm down there. That'll
okay,
be my
that'll
buzzer.
Be your buzzer. Have you got a buzzer? Okay, great. And let's see how we go. I think we're going to play. It's either going to be a song or a
clip.
A clip.
All right,
yeah, so
do
we'll
it.
See. Okay, let's have a little go at what this is.
I tell you what I'm going to give you, snakes. I'm going to give you the count
yeah.
of 10.
Home Alone.
Well done. First point to know.
Man, Hannah's got it and she... is that how you sound, girl?
Before I pop your guts full of
I'll find out Wednesday, won't I?
Number two.
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas and I don't
yeah.
to make a Christmas Carol.
Well done. Second point to Nollington.
Man, I don't fuck about, girl.
Okay.
What's this?
Number three.
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Is an elf.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Second point yes, to Camille.
Fucking Lord Farrell. Damn it. Well done.
Gold.
Number four.
For the King of Kings. Frankincense. For the priests. For the priests.
Any idea?
Jesus of Nazareth.
Nearly the Nativity.
I'm just gonna wait till tomorrow to tell you all this, but
number
what
five.
The heck? With this bonus check, I'm putting in a swimming pool.
Nope.
No.
It's Christmas Vacation. Number six.
Why do you have a bag on your head?
Probably because he's embarrassed by that idiot or his gift.
No.
The Grinch.
Oh, damn it.
Let's see what you can do.
Thanks a lot.
You know, I've written special music for each holiday. This sort of gives me
is it going to be a wonderful life?
No.
Miracle on 34th Street.
No.
Original.
Holiday Inn.
Damn it.
I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents.
Number eight.
Singing Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy.
No idea.
Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Jesus.
But I feel like my brother's Santa Claus because my brother really is Santa Claus.
All right, that's enough, all right? You and I got a problem.
Oh, all right, Steven, easy. All right.
Steven, easy.
No idea. That's
it's Fred Claus.
Fucking hell.
Mary, Vince I know Vaughan. What I'm going to do tomorrow and
number
the
10.
Next day and next year.
It's a wonderful life.
It is!
Damn it!
The dust of this crummy little town off
so you're two each now, you're drawing.
What? What is it?
Number 11.
What is it? Oh. What is it?
I can't put my arms down.
No.
It's a Christmas story.
Could I really be alive? I mean, I can make words. I can move. I can juggle. I can sweep.
It's Frosty the Snowman. You guys did your Christmas homework. That was Polar Express.
Oh fuck, I love that film.
Number 14.
I wish you could let yourself believe in people like Chris.
Miracle
Yes, yes it is. One to know.
Barabbas. Bernard.
Bernard.
Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Yes, it is.
We had to change planes in Denver.
Larry, take Charlie here and get him some chow.
No, Larry, don't.
The Santa Claus.
I love that film. It's one of my favorites.
There goes the last bus.
So call me a cab.
Hey, man, you're a cab.
No sweat. It's Christmas Eve. Next reindeer's due any minute.
No idea.
I didn't know that either. Claymation Christmas.
Mister, did you ever know anybody that died? This is going to be my mom's last Christmas.
Mom's last Christmas.
The Christmas shoes.
Jesus Christ. Like, where are you finding these bad things?
Number 18.
Yeah, fine. Ted, I need to speak to Liz. Could you get...
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
5-0.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You were known to be a good man, Henry. You were heard. I was instructed to come here in answer to your prayer. Who are you? I'm an angel.
That's Bishop's wife. And the final one, number 20.
Yeah, buddy, I'm crazy. Crazy like a fox. Crazy enough to see through your little tricks.
Bit of Bill Murray.
I'm back.
Scrooged.
Yeah. Now, okay, no, that's 6 points to Nolan, 2-0. Fair play, though.
And well kind done.
And you know,
well
done. From over the pond. So well done.
I'm a Scrooge.
Well done to you.
Yeah, you're a Scrooge. You should have got the last one then. Yeah, you picked some obscure ones there. And you didn't even have the respect to pick the My Christmas animation that I was in called Saving Santa. Unbelievable.
Saving Santa. Oh, yeah. You were in a little animation, weren't
you? Although it would have been embarrassing if I didn't get it. But,
exactly. But I was like just saving you there. Yeah, I was like, I had your back.
I was expecting Bad Santa or Trading Places.
Trading Places.
That's a good Christmas movie.
Classic movie. Looking good, Lewis. Feeling good, Winthorpe. That's a good movie.
My top are, I like Elf, The Grinch, Home Alone. Either Home Alone.
There's like four of them. What do you mean either?
Well, I only actually count the first two. Right, like, okay. Anything past two, nah, it hasn't got.
Yeah, I feel like that with American Pie as well.
Hasn't got the original Kevin.
Yeah.
No. I like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Watch that every year as well.
No. Polar Express, I love. Have you got kids? Do you have kids?
Nah.
No, I've got kids. Polar Express is a great
one. She works with enough kids. She's
yeah, she's like, I work with them. I don't need to keep one.
No, I've got plenty. I've got children.
Like, okay, it's that, busy on that kind of counts. But you give them back, so it's not quite the same.
I know, but I still watch the movies with them.
Oh, okay.
I'll pay full attention.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
To the movie, that. Not the kid.
I like that. Anyway.
Great.
Girl with All the Gifts.
Yes. What was it? 19th of January?
July?
What? January?
18th of January.
There we are. Of January. I'm paying attention. It was a long night. Sorry, guys.
The Girl with All the Gifts will be out. And hopefully you guys will get a couple of BAFTA noms as well. That would be nice, eh?
Let's see.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually a BAFTA member, so...
Well,
you know.
Do you want a cup of tea?
Glass of champagne.
No. We can discuss this after the show. There's no bribery allowed.
Amazing. Right, I'm going to pop to a song. Thank you so much
for coming in, man. Good luck with everything in the future.
Brilliantly fun. I'm going to play a song now from Manchester by the Sea. It's by Ella Fitzgerald. It's called I'm Beginning
to
See the
Light. You fucking love this film, mate, don't you?
I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. Used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark that's a four-wheel on fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light.
I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. Used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark. That's a four alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light, boy. Beginning to see the light, boy. Beginning to see the light. Now that your lips, they are burning on mine, I'm beginning to see the light.
Ba-dum. Right.
Are we back on? We're back on.
We're back on. We're back live.
Sorry, man, I'm nattering.
Having a
just
nat.
Reminding Johanna how much I look after her.
You do, mate. You've sorted me out solid.
not in the way you guys think.
Not at all. Right, a bit of unusual movie facts. Yeah. I've been doing a little bit of research. Yeah. I quite enjoy this every week. I'm just getting to be a geek. Right, so Tarantino was asked by a friend. This was pre-Pulp Fiction days.
I am listening to you. I'm just wondering why all those that have disappeared.
The building's been evacuated and we're still here.
Okay,
everyone's missing. No, Tarantino was asked by a friend to look after their bunny rabbit, and he didn't. He forgot to look after it and the bunny rabbit died. And so to say sorry, he commemorated the bunny by calling one of the robbers in Pulp Fiction after it. It's called Honey Bunny. They're called Honey Bunny. Rabbit that he killed.
That he let die.
Yep.
I mean, he should be more responsible. I think Peter should have him locked up. Peter, whatever they're called, should have him locked up for that.
Oh, no. Killing a bunny. The character called Switch in The Matrix, which is the girl, basically the girl in white with the blonde hair, not Trinity, basically. Yeah. The character was written and was called Switch because initially they were supposed to switch gender when they went in and out of The Matrix. Mm. But Warner Brothers, they cut the idea because they didn't want to touch too many.
But you know why that is, don't you?
Why?
Because the Wachowskis, are they the directors? Wachowski brothers?
Yeah.
Directed The Matrix. They're no longer the Wachowski brothers, are they?
Because they're,
One is called Lana, and is now a lady.
Yeah.
And that is probably why she wanted to do that.
Yeah, they wanted to play with, that would have been like a massive move forward, having someone who
would have been amazing. It's a
character who
it's
was
a shame that Warner Brothers
weren't.
Warner put the end to that.
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting if they made it now. Warner Brothers maybe would probably go for it now.
I would go for it now, I think.
But
times
back then
have changed.
They didn't. All the characters, talking about gender stuff, all the characters.
Sorry, I keep looking at your sparkly top.
They're sparkly. All the characters in Alien were written gender neutral. So all of the names of the characters, so it could have been cast either way. So they left it completely open. Mm. It just so happened to be that they were boy or girl, because it was never written. And the only person who was specifically a boy or a girl was the main character, which was supposed to be a boy.
Ripley, yeah.
So
I'm
Ripley
aware
was
of that.
Supposed to be a boy, and then they switched it to.
And it ended up being Sigourney Weaver.
To be a girl. But
girls, you can do it. You can do it.
You can kill them aliens. And in Rocky, the original Rocky, there's a scene.
He was supposed to be a horse, wasn't it?
He was supposed to be a horse. Oh my god, can you imagine a boxing horse film?
That would be awesome.
I would so go and see
me
that.
Me too, man. Probably wouldn't win any awards, but I'd watch it.
But that would be amazing.
That
everyone
would be
being
cool.
Like
a boxing horse.
They go to the pub and be like, let's go see that boxing horse film.
Man,
yeah.
That was such a good film.
So anyway, in Rocky, when he finally gets into the arena and he's looking up at the poster of himself and he spots that the shorts are wrong, that he's not wearing the correct shorts.
Yeah.
That was a real life moment because the art department did the wrong shorts, so they actually made it into the movie and they made it like a thing.
That's nice.
That
know.
Was the
Good
art
trivia.
Department fucking up and got into the movie.
Mm.
A little quick thing on actors changing their names, because a lot of actors started off in their movies being called one thing and then they changed their name later on. Number one being The Rock.
Yes.
So he was credited as The Rock for quite a few films before he then changed to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and then he finally dropped that to just Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
He was credited in his first film as Marky Mark, and then soon dropped that. Arnold Schwarzenegger was credited as Arnold Strong.
And he was very strong.
The film flopped, and then he came back with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Joaquin Phoenix was originally he was actually born Joaquin Raphael Bottom. And then when his
unfortunate name.
When his family left the cult Children of God. Mm-hmm.
They changed all the names to River and Rocky.
They changed Phoenix, their last name, to Phoenix because it was like their new rebirth. Yeah. And he chose Leaf. Yeah. So for the first couple of films he was credited as Leaf Phoenix. Yeah. And then changed back to Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne, who was in The Matrix.
Yes.
He
was Morpheus, by the way.
Morpheus in the Matrix. Not played by Samuel L. Jackson, as the running joke is.
No, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He was called Larry Fishburne. So he was
in earlier films, I think even in Boys in the Hood, he's Larry Fishburne.
Larry Fishburne, and then changed to Lawrence Fishburne.
He got older, he was like, you can't call me Larry anymore.
Marilyn Monroe was born Norma Jean.
Norma Jean, yeah.
But for her first couple of movies, she was Jean Norman.
Norma Jean is more. It's Norma Jean something, isn't it?
It's Norma Jean, and then, Norma Jean.
Something.
There was something on the end. And then she changed it to Jean Norman. And then they were like, that's not working. You need to be something more iconic. And
Marilyn Monroe.
Someone said, oh, you remind me of this actress, Marilyn something. So that's why she took Marilyn. And then she matched it with an old maiden name of someone in her family.
Mm.
Nicolas Cage was.
He's a Coppola.
Coppola.
He's a Coppola. For those who don't know, Francis Ford Coppola, I think, is his dad or uncle. I don't
know.
Yeah,
his dad.
And Sofia Coppola, director, is his cousin, I believe.
But he didn't want to be, kudos to him. He didn't want to be associated with the family name in the sense that people thought he was getting a leg up. So he's like, no, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to be Nicholas.
So he just got a leg up anyway, but pretended he wasn't.
And then
part
dropped
of the
it. It was all me. And then finally, Olivia Munn was her first couple of movies, or she was Lisa Munn. And then they were like, don't think it's working as Lisa. So
it's interesting.
They changed it to Olivia.
Because that doesn't seem that much of a problem.
I know, right?
Lisa Munn. Shit name, though, isn't it?
Lisa Munn.
It is shit, though.
But Olivia Munn, it just kind of like rolls off more.
And your name used to be Boobalina Awesome Sauce.
And I changed my name. Yeah, you helped me with my name change because.
I did, actually.
Yeah, we were like, what should we.
Fuck, man.
What should we. Many of those years ago, like 4 years ago, I was like,
I do remember that, yeah.
And we were like playing around with different names because when you're an actor, you have to register, or have to register with the Actors Union.
Yeah.
And there already was a Joanna James. So I couldn't have. And there was also
The other names that are your real name.
The other names that are my real name, they were already taken, so I had to like re-establish the name.
And yeah.
So
yes,
that's how Johanna James was born.
I still call you Joe.
Joe, yeah, because it used to be spelt with an O, and I switched it to spell it with an A.
Yeah.
But I thought it was so
good. Yeah, you fools. Ha,
I fooled you. But actually, I fooled myself because now no one can say my name.
Yeah, they're like, is it
Johanna? Johanna? No, Johanna, whatever. Miss J.
Oi, you over there,
Oi,
JJ.
You, bitch. No, too far.
Well,
too
I don't want to know about your personal life, love.
Too far. Okay, I think we've got our second guests are coming into the studio. So we're going to.
Sitting out there regretting that they're coming on the show after hearing your terrible segment just now.
We've got the girls from the Muted, the musical. So we're
fantastic.
We're going to pop.
Is this the funniest lady in the world?
No, she's coming after. I'm sure these ladies are very funny anyway.
Muted, let's do it.
We're going to do that. We're going to have a little bit of Sam Smith and we're going to come back with the girls from Muted the Musical. It's Back Row and Chill.
Fantastic.
Guess it's true, I'm not good at a one-night stand. But I still need love, cause I'm just a man. These nights never seem to go to plan. I don't want you to leave, will you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all I need. This ain't. Darling, stay with me.
it's not a good look and some self-control. Deep down I know this never works, but you can lay with me so it doesn't hurt. Oh, won't you stay?
Pick with you quickly, just quickly before we introduce our guest.
Okay.
I've noticed that you only play the one with your name first because I've not been around and you're winding me up and you're going to switch it back.
No.
I've listened to four of them today.
Yeah.
And all of them say Johanna James first and you're trying to be sneaky and you're not getting... Natalie's nodding. You're not getting out of this one.
Can I explain?
Just remember why you got this show in the first place.
You're not letting me explain.
We have guests.
I've got two options. I can play the one with both our names or with just my name. So which one am I going to play?
But you're playing the one with both our names, your name first.
All right. I need that put on... It's not even on the thing.
See?
I'll just say it. Back row and chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James.
Because we do have it.
Get it on the cartwheel.
She's taking it off.
Yeah. I didn't take it off.
Natalie's nodding at me. We're having a domestic, sorry ladies.
Sorry. Anyway, let's get to our guests.
That's very cheeky.
We've got Tori Allen Martin and Sarah Henley in the studio.
Hello, ladies.
Thank you
for having us.
You are from Muted the Musical.
Yes. Yeah.
So, are you performing in, or are you in charge of?
I'm performing in. Mm-hmm. I've written some of the lyrics, and we've produced it together. And Sarah's written the book, so we're like a slash generation.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. So for people like me, who've been off filming movies when other people change the jingle on the show. Can you explain what Muted the Musical is all about?
Yeah.
You do that tour.
It's, well, the title gives it away a little bit. It's obviously unlikely that a musical would be about a mute, but it is. It's this guy, he was doing really well in a band. They were about to get signed and he lost his mother in a hit and run accident. And the way he reacted to that was to become mute. He just shut down and he couldn't.
Like psychologically, became mute, right.
Yeah, and we found that really interesting as a vehicle for a piece of theatre.
Whoa, that was a true story?
No. We should have lied. Yeah, true story. we just found that idea of a mute character and their inner thoughts. So we've got a sort of teenage version of himself from before the accident who sings... his thoughts, effectively.
Amazing.
And I'm the ex-girlfriend and I get enlisted to sort of come back and try and bring him out of himself. And it's a lot about secrets and forgiveness and the things that we feel we can't say that we maybe should. So yeah, that's it.
That's amazing.
But there's some twists, so you can't say too much.
And how did you guys, apart from the concept you just told us, like what was the sort of kernel of what made you guys come up with that in particular?
I think we're just always looking for things that aren't stereotypical musical theatre. We're not really into the sort of jazz hands thing. Mm. And we are interested in giving me lovely jazz hands there, Noel. Yeah.
That's right.
And I think we like to tell really contemporary young stories that we feel represent 2016 and us and our friends and people who think they hate musical theatre. They're the people we want to get in. And this, because it was modern and it's about a band, and it opened itself up to have commercial sounding music, which is what we love to do. Mm-hmm. So that was what appealed to us about it, and that's our whole thing. It's just bringing musical theatre into the now, really. Yeah. And
I think I want to see it, because I'm not a fan of musical theatre.
Yeah, and that's who we create it for, and a lot of our friends aren't, and it's sort of like, it doesn't have to be this thing. We've got this idea of what musical theatre is in our heads, and that's what we're interested in messing with that.
I used to do a lot of musical theatre when I was a teenager, and I remember once, the first time I did a play, and I said to my dad, I was like, what do you think? He was like, there wasn't any songs, it was great. Cheers, Dad.
Yeah, but a lot of people feel like that, and I think that's been fun for us in terms of like how we introduce the songs as well, like not like, and now I'm having a song out
of nowhere. That was, that was good, by the way.
Thank you so much. That just was good, giving you a little insight.
That was great.
So it's more kind of like you might be mid sentence that sort of takes over, because it's this inner thought is kind of taking over and almost soundtracking the action.
Yeah.
Rather than bursting into
I love that, because I think what annoys me, although I do like Wicked.
Yeah, Wicked's like Wicked.
Wicked's
yeah.
Wicked. But I think what annoys me about musical theatre is sometimes when they just, every sentence just goes straight into a song, and I'm just like, fucking hell. If I wanted to have a soundtrack, I'd just listen to one.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So it sounds interesting.
We feel the same. So hopefully it's people like you that we're trying to create work for.
Great.
So,
And how did it go from like development to actually being on stage in London? What was the, how many loops did you have to jump?
A lot,
and we're still jumping. Still a fucking meeting now.
You can say on this show, you can say anything you like.
Yeah, we were told that. I really relaxed when I knew I could say fuck. Yeah. It made my day a lot better.
Anything you want.
Fucking Friday.
Yeah.
We did a version of it in 2012 that we just put on. We raised £2,500 on Kickstarter, and that's all we had, and we just threw it on, got a bunch of mates involved.
Wow.
And then Stephen Fry came down and called it stunning, and we started to get this sort of secret hype about it,
and we
would be in the bar a lot and have a drink, and we had fans that would come down and like join in, and it was cute, and we've just kept plugging away, but we've written things in between them. I've worked with Idris Elba a lot. Yeah. We've sort of grafted and got better, hopefully, but this one was a little nugget that we couldn't let die. So we came back with it top of the year, didn't we?
Yeah, we did another Kickstarter for an album. Sorry, I'm a bit croaky.
That's all right.
Another Kickstarter for an album, which we did in February. So we made a little cast album and we did a showcase. And these guys from the Bunker caught on. That's the venue that the show's on. It's a new venue in London Bridge. And really liked it. And they're up for taking a bit of a risk on new stuff that's a bit different. And they gave us the slot.
Amazing.
Mm. Which is over Christmas, which is interesting because it's not a panto.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Some people
very
want
Christmas-y.
That, though. They do want that alternative.
Do you have a break, or is it all the way through? Obviously, Christmas Day, I'm
assuming. Yeah, Christmas Day and Boxing Day, we get off.
Yeah.
And New Year's Day, which was strategic.
Because you lot will be absolutely legless.
I won't know my own name.
Yeah.
So I'll be no good to anyone. I will be completely mute. And
do you
want to
know something really weird? This is really weird. Apart from not the show, which I'm sure is something really weird. Was that a little cough over there?
It was.
The sneaky
cough. I took myself over there.
She turned away from the mic. Yeah. This is really weird. I'm just going to digress quickly because we'll get back on subject.
Do it.
I was filming a film called Mute in Berlin about a mute bartender
who had
a traumatic experience and went mute.
So you know all about it.
Well, I don't really, but I was in that film as Duncan Jones' new film. That's what I was doing. When you said that, I was like, oh, that's weird.
Wow. That's fate or something.
How weird is that?
I don't know what it means, but it does mean something.
Well, it means I have to come and see the show now.
Yay! Yeah. So come and hang out with us.
Let me take a picture of this. I'll definitely come and see the show.
And let us know and we'll have lots of drinks.
If people did want to come down and find it, so it's on, when does it start?
It's opened on 7th of December.
Oh, it's already open?
Yeah, we just got nominated for Best New Musical today. That's cool.
Best new musical, wonderful.
So we've opened. We've got shows running Tuesday till Sunday. We have two shows Saturday, two shows Sunday, and
and a few actual extra matinees during the
during Christmas. We've got
I have a question.
Yeah. Yes,
you're in the show.
Yeah,
you're not in the show.
Oh no.
So why are you croaky?
Oh, I know,
she
right?
should be croaky. Why are you croaky?
Why am
I've
I
got
croaky?
Stamina.
Yeah, she's got the training for it.
I'm not trained. You can't even give me that.
No, that's true. I don't
stamina.
Know.
I'm on to you.
She just wants the sympathy. No, actually, putting on a show is harder, to be fair. She gets all the bollocks bits, and I just get to swan on and get a clap. So, to be honest.
Sorry, did you say get the clap or a clap?
A clap.
Okay,
just the one.
Just checking. Like just checking.
Well,
yeah, great. And it doesn't finish until Saturday, 7th of January.
Yeah.
So where is it exactly? It's in the Bunker in London Bridge.
Yeah, it's if anyone's heard of a theatre called the Menier Chocolate Factory, it's underneath there.
Oh,
it's an ex-car park. So it's about 3 minutes walk. If you take the Borough High Street exit at London Bridge, it's about 3 minutes walk down the road. So, just past the Breakfast Club.
I am coming. Wait. I'm coming to this play. You said the words Breakfast Club. I'm assuming they have breakfast. And you also said the words Chocolate Factory. So I'm hoping it is what I think it is. It's not the reason I'm coming to the play. I'm
well,
coming
you have
anyway.
To come to find out,
yes,
won't you?
Yes, I shall.
No, this looks absolutely amazing. Good. And what are there anything sort of after plans to take it on anywhere else after? Or is this...
I mean, we hope so. We always hope so.
The dream is Broadway.
Yeah, I mean, that would be not anywhere,
off
to be
Broadway,
honest. Just some money.
Yeah,
that
would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Just support, really. Yeah. Just for we're trying to do something different, and we're trying to give British musical theatre a new voice, and we just need the support. It's really fucking hard.
Do you still have a Kickstarter that we could tweet?
Do you have any? Yeah, do you have any online?
Sadly,
but we'll probably do another one. But get in touch with us if you want to help support.
Yeah, if anyone wants to help, we're here with open arms.
Have you got a website or a Facebook page or anything
We
Twitter?
Do. Yeah, our Twitter is @intervalprods. So like, a bit weird. Productions was too long.
Oh, I thought it was.
So it's not. That yeah, interval.
That's short
prods.
For like having sex in the interval.
You can do that if you want.
Just get prodded. Come on, I've got to offer you a quick prod.
Why
in the
not?
Quick, it's the interval prod. Quick.
I'm single, so that's fine. I'll take that for the
she
team.
Is.
Yo, you got to listen, man. She's all right too. You know? So, she's like, both of them is all right, so, you know, they'll have a little prodding interval, just so you know.
Yep. Yeah.
Email in, guys, email in. Or girls, I don't know how they're rolling, either way.
At this stage, it's Christmas.
Beggars
can't be choosers, can they? Come on.
And how many cast are there? Who else is in the cast?
There's six of us, That's right, isn't
and
it?
And is it live music?
Yeah, live band.
Wow. Oh, we've got such a dude. We've got to talk about Gus.
Oh, Gus.
Yeah, talk about Gus. Who's Gus? What does Gus do?
He's our guitarist, and he played and wrote loads of songs with Seal for years, and he's just an absolute G, and he plays left-handed, upside-down guitar. He's just an absolute G. So come for him alone, and he's the nicest man.
Well, you're not going to give him a little bit? Like, if you're single?
I don't.
Slightly, maybe the wrong generation.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, he wrote with Seal for years.
Yeah, gotcha. So he's more like Uncle Gus.
Yeah, he is mates with my uncle, actually. Yeah. So that is a true story.
Uncle Gus.
He's Uncle Gus. But he's a G.
I love it. He's a G, man. Fantastic. And so, what's the plans next? What's happening? What's the next plans? Obviously, we want Muted to keep being a success and to do well. But like, what other plans do you guys have individually or together?
I've got a show called Wretch, which is about two girls in a homeless shelter going to the Vault Festival opening February 8th. That I'm in, and a band, indie band called Elijah and the Bear, have done the songs for that.
Fantastic.
Sarah's got a project called The Unblinding.
Yeah, it's a musical, but you download it onto an app, so it's like a graphic novel crossed with a musical.
Amazing.
Releasing episodes via an app. Yeah. That's coming out, the first one in January.
Amazing. What's that called? The Unblinding.
The Unblinding.
Yeah. And what's the app called?
The app is, we haven't decided yet. I need to come up with a genre name.
Right, yeah.
So I'll find out.
Any ideas?
Any ideas? Yeah, for a graphic novel cross with a musical.
Yeah, and we've just co-written a piece of theatre commissioned by Idris Elba.
Fantastic.
So we're pushing that in the new year.
And is Green Door, is his production company?
Yeah, Green Door are involved. We're working with Green Door on it and a company called Bob & Co. And we just had a little workshop
of
it.
All of them.
Well, yeah, we're working with them. And fingers crossed that we've got some meetings about that. And we're really excited about that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Well, good luck with all of that stuff, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And you.
Yeah. Yeah. But thank you so much, girls, for coming in. We're going to pop to a song. I think we're going to go for...
Muted! Woo!
Oh, we were going to go for one of your songs from the musical.
Oh, God.
Not that one.
Which one?
We've got it. We've got After the Turn.
All right.
Yeah.
Make sure you guys watch. Go and watch Muted, guys. Out on until the 7th of January at the Bunker.
The Bunker.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Thank you so much.
Presents
Hayden Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
So this man from Singapore has revealed that he married his pet snake because it looks like his dead girlfriend. Now wherever he goes, the pet snake is by his side. His neighbours call him the man with the snake.
Inventive. Very creative.
Didn't even capitalise the thing. You can't even make a film about this guy. He's screwing. He's just the man with the snake.
Kind of peek on every other person who owns a snake. Like, any, it could be anything. Like, you're forever now known as the man wears the jumper. I wear jumpers. No, I coined it.
Every Wednesday.
Payne and Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
From 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Two. Fucking right.
Boom.
Oh, you can swear.
Oh, yeah.
You can say what the fuck you want,
though. Fuck.
Exactly. Two fucking right. 50-50, that's how it should be.
It will be. It's on there. Well, now they've corrected my monitor.
You're cheeky, not mistake, your cheekiness. They've corrected your cheekiness.
I didn't notice which way around our names are. I just hear both names. I'm like, cool.
I don't mind, but then when it was like four times, I was like, all right, they're taking the piss out of me now.
They
I
make Ant and Dec stand as Ant and Dec.
Do
yeah.
they?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
We need to introduce. We've got our guest. This is Jade Adams. Woo! In the studio.
Jade Adams!
Hi! Welcome.
How you doing?
I'm all right, mate. I was stuck in traffic, so I'm all like, I've got too much adrenaline because I thought I was going to be late.
Oh, we got...
Well, you're not. No, I've got to tell you something. I've heard that you're funny, the funniest person in the planet or something like that. So.
Something like that.
So
basically, what happened was I was...
You better make me laugh today. That's all I'm saying.
I had an interview and yeah. they said, oh, tell us, for the uninitiated, who are you? And I went, well, a humble answer is that I'm just a lowly cafe worker just with dreams of making people laugh. To anyone else, I'm Britain's funniest woman. Oh no, I said I'm the answer to British comedy, and then that got taken as the thing, so now I can use it as a quote, mate. So yeah, that's Britain's PR, mate. That is
PR. I love that.
But apparently I'm quite funny.
I'll be the judge of that.
I have funny bones, apparently.
I've got a funny bone.
Have you? Mm. Have you got a funny bone?
Yeah,
mate. You got to stop doing that. It's all kinds of.
I've got a funny bone.
He hits on my mum. It's kind of a problem.
Yeah, my mum loves it.
But she like a right upper, I bet.
Yeah, she loves it.
I love how
big king size Snickers
is.
Right upper. She loves it.
Does she?
This is king size Snickers with nuts. Yeah.
This has taken a turn
for the better.
Total tone turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, FUBAR. It stands for fucked up beyond all recognition.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So you could take in any old riff raff here, really.
We can just go and look at the.
Not
symbol.
On this show. We only take quality on this show. Girl.
Thanks, mate.
That's why you're here.
Thank you.
Quality industry. Peeps
on quality. Apparently it's hard to when you are where I'm from, you don't really sit around bragging about yourself like people do on the internet. So when I'm in these things where I'm in for 15 minutes and I've got to make people come and see my show, I find it ever so uncomfortable to just say, yeah, I'm real funny. I tell you what you won't do is you won't be bored for an hour.
So what is your show about? Because you've got a show at the Soho Theatre.
I'm
around there all the time.
Come, yeah. Mate. It's well funny. It's about... Basically, it started off as... I didn't want it to be what it was about. And then over the preview period that I did for about... from March to July, it turned into a show which was where I basically spent 31 years of my life trying to be other people, thinking that other people knew what the route to happiness was. And then I realised at 31... having done this show, that actually I knew what it was all along, and that was to be me.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean people have to be me, because I don't like that. I don't like it when people
copy. Was quite, it's a one laugh. I'm just write that down. One laugh.
Yeah. One tick.
Write that one tick.
Done.
No one should copy. You should just be yourself. That's what I think, anyway. And I think that happiness comes from being yourself.
Indeed.
Being you.
However that is, and not trying not to worry what other people think about you.
Yes.
Which I spent all my life doing, because I had some stronger female role models that liked to dominate me when I was growing up.
Oh,
it sounds
you?
Saucy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
family members. I know I'm West Country. I'm not that West Country.
Two.
Just
make a note of that. That's two there.
excuse me, chest infection just gone. I had the same thing as the Dreamgirls girls had.
Oh, wow.
Oh, because the show got shut down,
yeah,
didn't it?
I had the same illness.
Did you give it to him?
I think I did.
Stop snogging all the cast of Showgirls.
Hold on.
That was three.
That
though. One from Glee is worth it.
Who's in there from Glee?
I don't know. I just saw her singing and I thought maybe she's in it, but I'm not. I don't imagine that girl's in the West. Maybe she is. I haven't seen her do any work since Glee.
No, me neither. No,
she got the. It's the black girl in Glee. She's sort of my size with big old fro.
No, she's done nothing since Glee.
She's done.
she played Mercedes,
all,
didn't she?
Fuck all. Apart from now, she's in Dreamgirls.
She's very good voice.
Yeah, she's got a good voice.
Do you sing?
I do. Yeah, I sing opera. This chair wants to move around.
In the show? Do you sing in the
mate,
show?
I have an ongoing battle with these chairs, so just be careful, mate. They're the enemy.
I am. I do sing in the show, but not until the very end, which has ruined the ending. But you still won't expect it, because I take you on a roller coaster. It's full of stuff. I've just jam-packed my show with as much as I could. There's dancing, singing. I lip sync at one point. I beatbox. I rap.
Wow.
I can do the splits.
Shut up.
Yes, mate.
I love that.
I was a dancer for 12 years.
Fantastic.
Some people call themselves a triple threat. I am an octuple threat, which has actually no relation to the fact I look a little bit like Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
You don't look like
Thanks,
it.
Mate.
That's a half laugh there. I'll give you that.
Four and a half.
No, three and a half, love. Don't get flat at yourself. Three and a half.
Three and a half. Yeah. Fucking hell.
Three and a half. But she's only been on like 2 minutes. That's brilliant.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
2 minutes. Is that it?
I don't laugh much. So that is brilliant.
No, honestly.
I don't.
If something's funny, he just goes,
They'd be like fucking they're belly rolling on the ground. I'm like,
is that because you think you're funnier than everyone else?
I'm mildly amusing.
Yeah, that's it's because you're the class clown, ain't you, mate?
I'm mildly
so
amusing.
It's uncomfortable for you to have someone.
No, it's not uncomfortable.
Not uncomfortable. That's the wrong word. Because look at him, he got defensive. What I meant was. It is. It's not uncomfortable. Four. It is. You had one there, didn't you? Yeah, truth is always funnier than anything else. My show's very brutal as well. I'm quite honest in it.
Good.
I swear the audience to secrecy when they come in about something. I say some stuff and I swear them all to like things that I would never put on telly or on radio.
Yeah.
I wouldn't ever say it, but on stage, I give some stuff over to the audience that they're not allowed to. Like reviewers as well. I tend to shut the fuck up at the end if they didn't like it. However, funniness. You were probably very funny at school, which is why you went into the world of the dramatics. You were hilarious in Doctor Who, mate.
Thank you.
I was a massive fan of when you were in it. I didn't watch it so much when Matt what's his face left, but when you were in it, it was brilliant.
Yeah, when I was Billy and Mickey and all that.
I know him as Rose, babes.
Rose, and
Rose and Doctor. That's pretty much
Rose
where.
And Doctor. Yeah.
It kind of. Yeah. I don't think they ever really recreated anything.
I don't think that they did it as well as they did it when they did it then.
Yeah, babes.
Yeah.
Billy should have stayed in it and not done that stripper thing.
Oh, I didn't mind that though because she had her bits up.
She is well fit in that stripper show.
Mm-hmm.
She's all right.
But she's better as Rose.
Oh, totes. Yeah.
you guys.
What if Rose was a stripper? In fact, you know, there's some fan YouTube videos on YouTube. Of Rose from Doctor Who doing like basically mashed
in.
Doctor Who and Secret Diary of a Cool Girl, because there's a scene where she has sex with Matt Smith because he's in Doctor Who and that, so they mash it together.
Oh.
I'm that much of a fan.
Google that, kids.
I used to read fan fiction for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And
did you write it as well?
No, I didn't write it.
So for people that don't know, fanfic is when fans write stories, episodes of their favourite shows or second favourite shows,
like
and
Harry
have
Potter.
The characters fucking and doing all sorts of craziness, and people love it.
Yeah. I was always spit roasted by Spike and Angel in my fanfiction.
Really?
No, I didn't write it. I just thought that would be funny.
That is funny. That's mildly amusing.
It's mildly amusing.
That was mildly amusing.
You didn't laugh. No. You just told me it was funny, which is what you always want as a comedian.
That was funny.
There you are, that's
I just
funny.
Marked that down. That's five.
It's like, does he do this with all the comedians?
I think so.
No, but you're the funniest ever.
Funniest person ever?
Yeah.
I'm quite funny. Do you know what I did today? On New Year's Eve, I am doing two things. I'm doing Soho Theatre with Bourgeois Maurice, who are a great sort of cabaret double act.
Mm.
Then I'm going to the Eagle in South London, and I'm dressing up. So Scotty, who's a drag performer that I work with, he is doing a show where basically everyone who's died over 2016 is getting recreated in this show at the Eagle.
It's a lot of cast.
I'm Victoria Wood.
Oh.
I put the wig on today. I look just like her.
Oh man!
I was doing all the hand actions as well. Let's do it. I was doing it. It was great.
And that will be great. How do you feel about it? Because she was someone that was really, I guess, a pioneer in your
lady comedy.
In your
she was. Yeah,
business.
She's great. I loved her. I watched Acorn Antiques and Dinner Ladies, and I watched all her stand up, and I watched. Her sit down, she was at a piano. But she was great.
Yeah.
She was, you know, she is a pioneer of ladies' comedy, which is great. I'm a bit funny about the old ladies' comedy. I just tend to do comedy. I don't really sort of.
It's not ladies' comedy, it's just comedy.
It's just comedy, mate. Yeah. I'm just funny. I happen to have a vagina.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a very pretty one, too.
It is absolutely lovely.
Can I have a look?
You can.
After the show, we're doing
one.
We'll
show
Facebook.
Right.
We'll Facebook. No,
Facebook
go ahead.
Live it.
Feel free. We'll Facebook
live.
Yeah. Can we? Who inspired you when you were a young comedian?
Dawn French, Jennifer Saunders, Victoria Wood did, Julie Walters, and then I watched a lot of American stand up. So like George Carlin and Bill Hicks. I mean, every comedian says that. Louis C.K. I love Louis' sitcom. He's brilliant. Mm. But I love. My favourite stand-up's all American. All my favourite, like, proper, you know, not what I do, which is fuck-assing around with a load of bag full of props and
Six.
Shit. but, I, you know, like, what they do out there with it. Because my show is the first time I've done an hour of chatting as well, because a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to be, like, putting on different costumes. I stay in the same clothes all the way through the show, and I ain't Adele in it either. Because I do Adele. Well, I'm doing it tonight at the Glory in King.
Is that why you got your wig with you?
I had to bring it with me, and I panicked because I thought I was going to be late, and I was just dyeing it because it was too blonde.
That does look like Adele, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'll do it all right. Some trannies called me Adele when I moved to London 6 years ago and not wanting to get any more jobs in call centres or serving smashed avocado on rye bread to children as young as four called Joffrey, I decided to start dressing up as Adele for cash.
It's not a bad shout, no. To be fair.
It's also the opening line to my show.
So how did sort of the Soho Theatre come about then? How did it get from you having to start, I've got an idea to be funny in a show, how did you get it someone to commission it?
I went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival 2016, smashed it in the dick, got nominated for Best Newcomer. Seven!
Eight! Nine!
Roll the roll!
It's like, I need to have a little king, like ding, 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 ding.
I got one, I should have bought it. I had it when I did a scissor kick to PJ and Duncan's Let's Get Ready to Rumble in the Bethnal Green Working Men's Club and fucked my knee up and did my ACL in.
Oh, flipping out, that's painful, isn't it?
When my mum was looking after me, she put the food on the other side of the room so I'd walk over and get it. She's a cruel bitch. And then she also gave me a little bell which she would just let me ring, almost like I was that guy in the wheelchair in Breaking Bad who was just about to kill Gustavo. Great reference.
Oh, yeah.
They're very good.
Good ding, ding, ding.
So you got
So I got nominated for Best Newcomer, and then I didn't think I was going to get Soho Theatre because they weren't really, like, everyone else I'd seen had been given their spaces, and I was like, and then I was all like, oh, it's a class thing, it's because I'm working class, because there were a couple of reviews up in Edinburgh that sort of really annoyingly referred to me as crass or brash, and it's such a shitty thing to say just because I've got an accent and I'm not, and also I'm not like, I haven't you know, I don't have much fear when it comes to expressing myself. So yeah. I, you know, it comes when you're female, it comes across as someone who's a little bit
frank
or gaudy or something like that. So I had
or when you're black,
babes.
Just working
class is the new black, mate.
Yeah, and when you're both of those things.
Oh, mate.
Yeah. Or female, of course.
You need to be fat and in a wheelchair now, mate.
Yeah.
And changing your sex.
Yeah.
And then you will tick a lot of boxes. They'll commission a sitcom for you in a minute, mate.
Yeah. Maybe I should try that.
Just go in a wheelchair, you'll be dandy.
I might try that.
Do it, write it down.
You're going to make a note of that too.
I didn't think I was going to get it, and then they gave me 14 or 15 dates, which is quite a lot. Amazing. For someone
that's
who didn't win Best Newcomer.
Yeah.
But was nominated for it, and it's been selling really well. I've sold out the last three that I've done, and I think Tuesday might be, I'm not so sure, but I think it's very close to getting sold out on Tuesday.
So you're at the Soho Theatre, how long are you running for?
So I've now got a run from next Tuesday to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so the 20th to the 23rd, I think it's four dates. Then I come back from Christmas, I'm doing the 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th.
Oh, great, in between.
And then I've got another run from the 3rd to the 7th of January. Boom. As well.
So you are around, so if people want to find you,
they can come watch. It's funny, they'll enjoy it. It's not, I don't mention like my relationship status really in it at all. And I don't like, I don't moan about not having a boyfriend or anything like that. I don't, it's more about me being a person and me being a bit of a dickhead really. Which is
that
what you want.
Good,
I think what you want from someone who's going to make you laugh.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
This chair is mental.
Yeah, she's turning. She's now facing the other way.
There you go.
Complete rotation.
There's a war on chairs, mate. Just watch it.
Am I meant to ask you guys questions?
No.
Well, we are slightly out of time because we're coming towards the end of the show and we've got to move on to our film reviews. But thank you so much for coming in.
What film is it?
Well, loads. Just be careful of that chair.
Just name me a film and I'll tell you what I think.
Star Wars.
Love it.
Rogue One, Star Wars.
Oh, I ain't seen it, mate.
10, by the way.
Thanks,
brilliant,
mate.
You got 10 laughs in 10 minutes. That's amazing.
Fantastic. Thank you,
brilliant.
Jade, for coming in.
Right,
and our show is on now and we'll be going until the 10th of January.
All right.
Watch it.
Thank you so much. We'll see you in the new year.
Bye, guys.
This is how it's gonna be. This is what you think of me. It's going down like I told you. This is how it's gonna be. I'll be the last man standing here. I'm not going anywhere. It's going down like I told you. I'll be the last man standing here. I'm gonna rock you. For mercy, begging for mercy, oh. I'm dangerous, so dangerous.
baddest mother up in here. For mercy, begging for mercy, oh.
That was like the trailer music for The Magnificent Seven.
That was great.
Woo, right.
That was actually a good song. You know, I've got 135 fucking emails since I've been in this fucking thing, man. 135.
I have none. Popular.
I wish it was popular. It's fucking work. That would be me up all night now.
We've got boring. Lucy Patterson's back.
Hi, I'm back. Yeah, baby. I'm so happy.
Have you had a hair trim?
Yes, I have. Oh, I've had like a foot chopped off my...
It looks lovely.
Mate, thank you.
Fucking look, you are the right sort, girl. Yeah.
She's tanned. She's trimmed.
Yeah.
That's great. Right, we've got...
Got a little tan. Yeah.
We've got TJ on the line. He's waiting on the line because he's been off for the past couple of weeks because normally he helps fill in for Noel and Noel's off being like all profession and famo. But TJ's been off as well doing some sort of Disney play, Peter Pan and the Starcatcher. So let's just have a quick check where he is and he can tell us about it. TJ, are you on the line?
I am now.
Hi, babe. Hi.
Bro, why the fuck are you calling in, man? What's getting on here? like you're not on the show enough, you've got to fucking call in as well.
He's like, don't forget
me. I know. Because, no, I can't get enough of y'all. You don't answer your WhatsApps. You don't answer your Instagram.
Mate, I deleted all them things just so you couldn't get me. That's why.
Well, I can get hold of Barack Obama a lot easier than you, Noel. Yeah, you're probably so busy.
So, what have you been doing? Where are you? What have you been doing?
Yeah, I'm actually in Northampton at the moment. I'm doing a play called Peter and the Starcatcher, which it was on in New York on Broadway in 2012. It won like 5 Tony Awards, and it's the European debut of the Peter and the Starcatcher.
Oh, so they're
fantastic.
Wow, fancy.
They're trialling it out, are they, before they put it onto London
exactly
stage.
So hopefully we go to West End.
Fantastic.
I don't know how I ended up in it, because
I was just wondering
some that some I knew you was no I knew I'm bewildered myself. I mean, it's like kind of I got to sing, I got to dance, I don't really do the whole musical thing, but
can you sing?
He sounds like a hippo with a grater stuck in his throat. How can he sing?
You're giving a hope and dream to all those people out there.
Yeah, guys.
Want to be in a musical.
Listening, when TJ does it, proves anyone can do it.
If I can, then anyone can. Trust me. Trust me.
Aren't you playing a lost boy?
I'm playing the Lost Boys.
And so you're like 30.
Yeah.
Denial.
Why you got left my age, man?
She put it out there, but man's like,
what I'm saying.
All them 19, 18-year-old girls you've been chatting up outside the school gates, you're going to have to lock them off now, man.
Not me, bro. That's some next TJ, you know. That's another TJ. You got me mixed up, bro.
Amazing.
It's a prequel to Peter Pan, and it's kind of like a dark... It's a dark side of how Peter Pan kind of became Peter Pan. So it's kind of the anti. It's kind of the anti Panto.
I see. So like Wicked was it. For Wizard of Oz. Like Wicked was for Wizard of Oz. This is like the
opposite. kind of thing. Obviously it did well on Broadway. So they spent the last 4 years trying to get it over in the UK. You know, with Disney Theatre, and they're trying it out over here.
Well, I hope it takes off for you, brother.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be back in the new year, aren't you?
I'm going to be back in the new year. I'm back in January, so hopefully when Noel's off sick or I poison him next, I can come in.
You mean when Noel's off filming some movie that you...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that.
Okay, cool.
Or I poison you. Either one of the two.
One of the two. All right, babe. Well, we got to go back to our film review and get on with the show, but thanks for popping in. We will see you in the new year.
Later.
All right, take care. Right. Take care, guys. Bye. Miss you lots, guys. Bye. Take care. Bye.
That was... TJ, $10 jamboree. We've got a little 10 minutes now to do our film reviews. You can start first, Lucy,
good job it's only 10 minutes, really, because...
Because you ain't seen fuck all while you've been away.
I've been lording it up in New Zealand, so...
But the film review, it kind of, it fell a little bit to shit when you were away.
Did it?
Gotta confess, guys.
Oh, unbelievable. So what the fuck have you guys been doing?
I've been trying to film review, but it's hard to film review with yourself,
well,
isn't
that's
it?
True. You can't talk to yourself.
I had two members, key members missing of the film review club.
Sorry about that.
Unbelievable.
We're that's back. All right. So what have you seen? What do you want to bring to the table? What do you think about it?
The fact that I was in New Zealand, obviously, that is Peter Jackson land, mm-hmm. isn't it? I mean, you get to Wellington Airport and on the side of it is middle of Middle Earth and there's all statues in it and, you know,
wow.
they're really, really proud of him and quite rightly, mm-hmm. you know. But what I think people don't quite realise about Peter Jackson is where he started. You know, everyone knows as far back as King Kong usually,
yeah.
Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. Fucking amazing films, you know, what an absolutely multifaceted, talented man. I actually don't really like them that much, but, you know, universally, they are good films.
Yeah.
But he actually started with comedy horror.
Mm.
A particular film that I love is called Braindead. It came out in 1992, and it's like the slapstick zombie horror film.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's always, you find it, like, near the top of lists of, like, the bloodiest, goriest films of all time.
Wow.
It's... on the surface of it, it's actually quite a bad film. But you know when a film's so bad, it's good?
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. It's got, you know, it's not really got anyone famous in it, but the fact that that's where he comes from mm-hmm. amazes me, because you watch the last Hobbit film and how far that's come and how technically amazing it is and, you know, what it did in the box office and the records it broke and things like that.
Yeah.
Then you go back to the beginning and he's done this thing where someone's chopping someone up with a lawnmower and putting body parts in a blender. You know,
well,
it's actually... it sounds gross, but it is funny.
Well, it's interesting.
Like,
I think people should do that, is go back and look at their favourite director's film, early films.
First film, yeah.
I absolutely loved it, and I do that with everybody. It's like a stalking gene in me that... if I find someone that I like, I will go far, far back. Like yourself, Noel.
Did you do that with me, baby?
I found The Knot.
That's a great film.
I love that film. You know, I love that
Knot's a great film, yeah.
I think it's brilliant. And no one really...
underrated, yeah.
People don't know about
underrated,
it. Underrated,
you know? Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, hood movies, that's all he does.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
No, very big
that
bullshit.
That is a rom-com and it's
horse
amazing.
Shit, even.
Horse shit, proper. But yeah, you know, I like going back to where these people started,
yeah.
you know, so... I've been watching that and...
Braindead. Where would you find Braindead?
You can find it for like a penny on Amazon.
A penny, sorry,
Jackson. Easily enough, I'm such a fan of the penny DVDs.
Mm.
You know, you can find any old shit on Amazon.
Actually, so. I've seen your Instagram recently and you've got like a wall of DVD. Literally, you're like,
it's
I think I've got a problem.
There. It's like taller than me.
Mate,
it's ridiculous.
I love
DVDs. You know, you should...
Well, girl, you better come back in the new year with some proper reviews.
I'm sorry. I'm just talking absolute shit today.
No, you're not.
Because
do you know what's out on DVD, though? Have you got another one to go on about?
Well, it's not really that interesting, so we can talk.
Trolls. Trolls. Did anyone see that?
Oh, yeah.
The animated comedy Trolls?
Yeah.
So that's about to come out, and I would highly recommend that for parents or...
for everybody,
really,
yeah.
It's a really, really good animated film, so anyone who wants to see that should check out Trolls. It's the right tone of a kids' movie
Definitely.
And little jokes for the adults.
Yeah, there is something there.
What did you choose to watch on the plane? Because you went to New Zealand recently, a lot of film time. What did you choose to watch?
Do you know what I did? I so badly want to love Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. I think it's
terrible.
Part of steaming shit.
Horseshit.
So I watched that twice.
trying to love it.
You know.
Were you on Virgin, by the way?
No, I wasn't. I was on Malaysia.
Okay.
It's cheap because they lose entire planes. So.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'll go with them. They won't do that again. It'll be really cheap.
It's only happened twice, yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, I tried to love that, and I just can't.
Also,
it's
by the way, we're
shame.
Very sad that this happened. Let's just say that we're not making light of those situations.
Oh no, very sad. No, of course not. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's unsavable. You know, even if someone was to go and re-edit it and reshoot some things, you just can't save it.
What do you
it.
Think
it's
about
such a shame.
The new Harley movie? Because apparently they want to get...
I think it's a terrible idea.
I think that they need to calm the fuck down.
About Harley Quinn.
For a start. Not taking away from Margot Robbie.
No, she's great.
She's amazing in everything she does, really. And she's absolutely gorgeous. But I think they need to just slow it down with the DC and the Marvel and all that stuff.
Yeah,
just stop.
I think the problem is it's difficult to say, oh, you shouldn't do that because... you know, then people say you're anti-female or you're anti, you know, you're anti.
It's
not about that at all.
These problems,
I'm very like equality, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, maybe because they are going down the female route, it might be a new and fresh thing, but that's just me.
No, it's just because not even that. It's just because they're not even, Harley Quinn is a major character, but they're not like major, major, major characters. Do you know what I mean?
No.
By the way, if anyone's flying on Virgin at the moment, I'm on the front cover of the In-Flight magazine.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah, lovely magazine, picture. I have to ask, is that an old picture?
It's about 5 years old, baby.
Yeah. Don't look a day older.
Well young.
Don't look a day older.
5 years old. Yeah, so if you're virgin with your parents and your parents are like, oh, there's no one that takes my fancy on this flight, just pull out the In-Flight magazine for your mum.
No, look at this.
And show her that.
Just look at that.
And then you watch Brotherhood.
I had a flight recently. I went to LA and there wasn't a lot on there that I was like really like, oh great. But I did watch a film called Money Monster.
Jack O'Connor.
Yeah.
George Clooney.
Yeah.
Julia Roberts, directed by Jodie Foster. And it was very similar to Phone Booth-esque.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Was it good though?
I enjoyed, like, I was on a flight and I was enjoying it and I really liked it.
Yeah, I think it's good. He did a good job, Jack O'Connor,
yeah,
didn't he?
Jack O'Connell,
like, he really held himself well.
And the accent, and
I am the accent police.
Oh, are you?
She's not.
I pick holes in everyone's accent when it's not their own. But yeah, there was a couple of little dropped vowels and things. But
okay,
you know, I don't know. What I think I am. Jack, you did well. Well done.
But you're not an actor, though, are you?
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I thought it was really good and really gripping. And also, I thought slightly realistic. I think it's one of those films that you can only watch once, because once you know like the who is it and the why and
agreed.
The what, it's kind of like, oh, I've seen this.
Yeah.
But it, for the first watch, a bit like Phone Booth, it's just quite gripping. And I was on the plane, like, ooh, and it was well acted and good. You know, I love all the people in it. So I was like, ooh, okay, that's one to find maybe for a Friday night. And the other film that I saw was Me Before You.
Oh my God, it destroyed me, that
which,
film.
Which was a bit... so I was watching it on the plane.
Chick flick, innit? It's for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite chick flicky.
Well, it's for everybody, really.
But I might watch that tonight after La La Land.
It's the girl from Game of Thrones, Emilia Clarke.
Yes. She's my cousin. She's not my cousin.
No, it's
the
silence.
She's not my cousin.
But they're really, really good. And Sam Claflin.
Married to Laura Haddock, who I worked with for Swords 24.
Oh yeah, Laura. But I watched it. I did have a cry. You know, it's funny because you're on a plane and
so embarrassing.
And everyone's watching their films in their own time. So I was watching it and I had a little cry and I finished. And then the lady next to me had obviously just got to that bit and I turned and she was there crying away.
For God's sake.
I was like,
you're not crying on the planes, man.
It's so embarrassing. I cry everything.
It's very emotional. The film is about this, you know, young guy, savvy, kind of proper dickhead.
I bet you're telling me I don't cry when I watch it.
I bet you cry.
I think you're made of stone a little bit.
Mate, I won't cry.
Yeah, no, I think...
But you start to think... literally, it's like this young guy, he's everything, he's got, he's good-looking, he's wealthy, he gets...
Hold on, I'm not in the film. What were you talking about?
Well, I think it parallels with your life.
Obviously playing
it. And he has this tragic, unfortunate accident, gets hit by a bike, and he is paralysed from the neck down.
Horrible.
Yeah. I know, and it's about everybody trying to, like, make his life better and him being like
just pushing everybody
there's
away.
There's nothing you could do. I
just
can't.
Leave me to fester.
But for someone to fall so far to be in the kind of like
sad.
The elite of the of the
and have it all taken away
and everything gone. And then Emilia Clarke's kooky little character, who I would have loved to play.
She's so charming, isn't she? She's lovely in it. She's just such a good job.
So again, that was two just like decent films. Everything else was a bit rubbish. Okay. Sorry, British
Christmas
Airways.
Watching guys. You guys find Me Before You, as the girls recommend. Trolls, that I recommend.
Trolls.
Definitely.
And Brain Dead.
Yeah, no, that's not really a Christmas thing. Maybe just watch Home Alone instead.
Well,
my point was research. Research your directors. Research your writers. Find what they've done, you know?
But I would say watch The Polar Express. That's my Christmas movie
for
you guys.
I've never seen it.
Well, watch it.
Really?
I've never seen yours. It either.
Watch it.
We'll watch it.
Your Christmas movie.
Christmas movie, I've already seen, is Home Alone. I'm going to be watching Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use this as a little plug, because this is our final show of the year, and we're going to end on the final song from Home Alone. So
okay, you guys,
I'm going to say goodbye.
Have a great Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas,
Merry
everybody.
Christmas to all the listeners. We'll see you in 2017.
Thanks for listening,
motherfuckers.
Yeah,
back row and chill.